This is WBUR's All Things Considered. I'm Lisa Mullins. Massachusetts elementary and secondary schools will have to plan for three possible scenarios for the fall, with the current goal being to bring students back to the classroom. That's the guidance from state education officials out today. The Department of Elementary and Secondary Education says depending on what's happening with the coronavirus come late summer and early fall, districts should also have plans in place to either continue all remote learning or do a mix of in-person and remote instruction. WBUR's Carrie Young is following the developments and joins us with more. So as of now, the state, Carrie, is saying, let's get kids back into the classroom with safety precautions, of course, in place. How are superintendents reacting to that? Do they feel like they could be ready?
Yeah, I mean, superintendents right now are saying they are overall pretty pleased with what they're hearing from the recommendations, but that it's going to be a tight turnaround. You know, these are brand new situations that a lot of them are going to be dealing with. You know, they have to negotiate new working conditions with teachers and other staff unions. That takes time. I asked Tom Scott, the executive director of the Massachusetts Association of School Superintendents, about this. And he said, one thing that is concerning school leaders is that number of scenarios that schools have to plan for, like you mentioned, all of those have to be in by August.
The challenge that I think everybody is feeling is not only just coming up with those plans, but how do you sort of move on that continuum depending on what's happening with the virus?
So that's Tom Scott. What are the most notable guidelines in terms of things schools will be required to do to try to reduce the risk of the virus transmission?
Well, there is a mask requirement. Students who are second grade and up will be required for the most part to wear a mask. There's going to be hand sanitizing or hand washing requirements, you know, like when they get into school, when they leave, before eating. There's also a recommendation that schools break students up into smaller cohorts or groups and that they stay together as much as possible to reduce cross-contamination. That means things like breakfast or lunch should be done in the classroom. At least that's what the recommendation is. The state's also giving parents an out, in a sense, to choose to keep their kids at home if they don't feel safe sending them into school. But then they are also asking schools to come up with another plan to offer them remote learning opportunities if they do decide that. Then there is desk spacing. Schools are supposed to aim for 6 feet between desks, but there is a minimum of at least 3 feet if they can't make that 6 feet happen.
There are some things the new guidelines are not requiring that had been mentioned as possible requirements in earlier preliminary guidelines. What are they?
Well, the guidelines that they're using for this summer and that had been mentioned earlier included this 10-student per classroom cap, and that's something that is not included in these guidelines. Then the other notable thing is there won't be any temperature checks next year. The reason behind that is just that they're not really reliable, too many false positives, that kind of thing.
The whole thing has not been easy on anybody, but certainly not on educators themselves, teachers. What are they saying about the guidelines?
So there are some concerns among teachers about whether or not students can learn in this really stressful environment that they think they might be coming back to. You know, policing, masks being up, and also hand sanitizing and other efforts. The other thing that I heard from teachers was the extra work that they'll be required to do or that they might be required to do if they have to add remote learning opportunities for students that might not be able to come in. I also spoke with one teacher, Joellen Persaud. She's an inclusion and moderate disability physics teacher at the Madison Park Technical Vocational High School in Boston. And she told me that she teaches a lot of Black and Brown students, and she's concerned about the significant impact that COVID-19 has had on those populations, both in terms of learning gaps and infection rates.
And to think that we would be putting them back at school at an increased risk is appalling. And I know that in conversations with my students, they think about their safety all of the time. And when a brain is in protection mode, it is not in a way able to absorb the information and open up to learning.
Carrie, many school districts are facing some serious budget shortfalls because of the pandemic. What will the new requirements mean in terms of extra expenditures and how do they plan to fill the gaps?
Well, one big cost is going to be extra hand sanitizer and soap. Then there's extra cleaning crew time. Schools may also want to reduce some of their class sizes, especially if they want to make that 3 feet between desks requirement work. So there could be more teachers involved. And then there's also this push to have more counselors in school next year. kids are expected to come back with a lot more trauma, and so schools do want to be prepared for that. There's a lot to try to budget for, really, and the tricky part is state education budgets have not been finalized. I spoke with Joseph Sawyer. He's the superintendent of Shrewsbury Public Schools. He says it's really stressful for him right now to try to figure all of this out, especially on such a tight time frame.
It's both trying to plan for doing school in a way that we've never done before, at the same time with huge question marks about the amount of funding that we'll have, not knowing the level of staffing we'll have to be able to execute the kind of planning and work that will need to happen to come back to school in the fall is probably the most complex work that school administrators have done in their career.
Now, the guidelines do say that there will be an additional $200 million or so of extra state funding to help schools with reopening costs. But then again, there's also concerns that that won't go far enough.
WBUR education reporter Carrie Young. Thank you, Carrie.
You're welcome.